Okay, so on Daf Lamed Hey tonight, so I'll take it down around 10 lines from the top is where we got up to yesterday, where the words say, by Mine. So it's around 2, 4, say around 10 lines from the top, and it says, by Mine. Okay, do you have a place, Charles? And to Josh, maybe you can help him. Just point him out the spot, okay? So the Gemara says, by Mine, Rava, me Rav Nachman. So Rava poses the following question to Rav. Now, again, the learning tonight is sponsored by Dr. Charles Libby. On the occasion of the Yortzeit of his father, Dr. Nathan Libby, the Chemi Ben Shlomo Alevi, the Born of Bracha. So I think I may have said it last night, and I got confused, but tonight's tonight, so you got it. Anyway, so it says, well, he's got tonight. Anyway, by meaning Rav and Rav Nachman, Yishma Yilu B'Kona Mod Olo. So Kona means, again, you're coming in the middle of the Masechta, Charles, so I want to make sure I get everything. It's a type of neder. Neder is a type of vow. So a person makes a neder that something, an object should be prohibited. An object should be prohibited, but he says, like, konam, we've had this before, konam is like a korban. It was just like a sacrifice. It's prohibited to me. It's hekdesh. So to this object, a loaf of bread should be prohibited. That's the language that he uses. That's right. That's the language of the neder. It's not just for the konam. So, by meaning of Rabban Nachman, Yeshua, Ilubik Konamoto Lo. Now, when we say it's like a Konam, it's like prohibited like a Korban, so how far does that go? Does it mean that it has a din in Me'ila? Like, if something is actual Hekdesh, something has been dedicated to the Beis HaMikdash, then if a person illicitly benefits from it, they're Chayav the Shogeg, they're Chayav the Karen V'Chomesh, they have to pay the principal back plus a fifth, and they have to bring a special Korban, a Korban Me'ilo. So if a person, let's say he says this loaf of bread is prohibitively like a konam, and then he benefits from the bread, or again, in from ila could also be if you're changing the rishus on ila, if I take it from one rishus to another rishus, in other words, normally I'm taking the rishus a hekdesh, so even without benefiting from it, I'm chai from ila. So the question is, once we say that we use this term konamot, which is the lashon of korban by nedarim, does it follow that there's a din in ila? So, finally, Rav Nachman, Yishvim B'Konamot Olo. So, Amar Lei, so Rav Nachman said to him, Tani Tua, we learned the answer to this in our Mishnah, which we did yesterday. Remember yesterday, Reuven was Mudar Hana from Shimon. It was Reuven took a neder that he's not going to get benefit from Shimon, or Shimon took a neder that he, like Reuven is prohibited from benefiting from him. So, we said that Shimon could return Reuven's lamb. If Reuven loses the lamb, Shimon, even though he's mudar hana, even though he's prohibited giving hana to Reuven, he can return the lamb to Reuven because that's his property. But if Shimon incurs expenses in returning the lamb, so then Reuven is obligated to compensate him for it. But if Shimon says, "Don't worry about it, you know, let's call it a wash," so the Tana Mishnah says Reuven can't keep that money because then he's benefiting from Shimon. Then he's benefiting from Shimon because he's pocketing the money that would have gone to Shimon, so he has to give it to Hekdesh. That's what the Mishnah says. So the Mishnah doesn't say, Yoli Chanali Yamamelach, take the Hana, throw it in the Dead Sea. It says it should go to Hekdesh. The implication being that the din in Konamot is a din in Hekdesh. and so that which is, you know, in other words, any Hana I'm getting should go to Hekdesh, because that's where it's coming from. So, because in other words, everything is prohibited me like Hekdesh. So if I'm getting the benefit, I put it back into Hekdesh. So he says, So that, the implication that is, that konamot are just like Hekdesh. My Hekdesh yesh bo me'ila, af konamot yesh bo me'ila. So just like Hekdesh has a din in me'ila, so too konamot have a din in me'ila. Okay, let's just summarize again for everybody who just walked in, okay? So I think I was better off when I left it at 8, and then people came late, and then they're on time. Anyway, so I'm, all right, so we're on, okay, we're on Lamed Hey Amud Aleph, 35A, everybody with me? Okay, so let me just repeat, and then we'll go over it again, okay, and then we got to move on. So we said that when a person makes a neder, one type of neder, he can link it to a korban and say, this loaf of bread is prohibited upon me, like a korban, like a konam, it's like a korban. This loaf of bread is like a korban. So how far does that linkage go? In other words, so it's prohibited to him like a korban, I got it, but what is it subject to the dinim of me'ila? In other words, if he benefits from the loaf of bread, or if he, we'll see, if he transfers the loaf of bread, is he chayev for bringing Korban Me'ilot. So that was the question that Rabbi asked Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman said, there's a deep in the Mishnah that leads him to believe that indeed that would be the case. Let's just do a little bit of the Ran, and then we'll go further, okay? So look around 15 lines down, the narrow lines, left-hand column in the Ran. Yeshmin l'bekonam od, ha'osir tevar la bekonam, the person prohibits something upon himself with a konam, v'nenem imenu, and then he derives benefit from it. Mima chayav me'ilo lo, is he chayav for me'ila or not? Again, me'ila is when you benefit from the hekdesh. He says, mi aminan da'asa'o k'korban, v'chayla ba'asha me'ila, k'nenem and akachim. Do we say that he's made this object like a korban, and Mela, if he benefits from it, he's chayav an asha me'ila, k'nenem and akachim. Now, the Mesivta Gevar pointed out that the Ran only mentions the korban me'ila. It doesn't say paying back Karen v'chomesh, the implication being that the Ran, even if I say it's like me'ila, but not me'ila, I'm not taking something from hekdesh, I'm not chayav a keren v'chomesh, but it would be a chayav a korban me'ila. Though other rishonim learned that he'd have to pay back keren v'chomesh. So let's do one more round in this. This is tipolan al hekdesh, the mimer hekdesh. So we learned in the Mishnah that if Reuben is mudar hana from Shimon, and Shimon returns, let's say, his lamb to him, and then Shimon had incurred expenses in returning the lamb, and Reuben owes him expenses, and Shimon says, don't worry about it. Or if Shimon is also mudar hana from Reuben, which he can't accept it, then Reuben should give it to Hekdesh. So it's called not Lehekdesh, name it Hekdesh. Dido dami konamot Lehekdesh, because of konamot, we're not the equivalent of the Hekdesh. Habalit lemeimor, yulichan al yamamela, kid the katani b'chol duchta. So then the Mishnah should have said, take the money and throw it in like the ocean, throw it in the Dead Sea. El mishum de konamot yeshba me'ila to Hekdesh, kevan to the Hekdesh asik, Tana tipolan al Lehekdesh. I think I said right. Came into the Hekdesh asik, since he's Osek with Hekdesh, so he learns that the Hana should go to Hekdesh. Okay, so again, I'm just repeating for the third time. So that's the question that Rabbi asked Rav Nachman. Is there a dinamim like Konamot? And Rav Nachman says there is, and he has a deep from our Mishnah. All right, let's go further in the Gemara, and then we'll pause at the end of the Amud. So the Gemara says, Kitanoi. The Gemara says this issue, whether Nidarim Konamot, I should say, whether Konamot, or like Hekdesh or not, is a Matloket Tanoi. It says, Konam Kikarzu Hekdesh. Let's say a person says, this loaf of bread is like Hekdesh. It's prohibited in the whole world like Hekdesh. Va'achalah. And then he ate it. Bein hu, whether he ate the loaf of bread, you have to place Charles, Ubein Chavero. Or yeah, you do or do not. So ten, you see the Gemara in the middle? So it's one line above the base in parentheses. Okay? You have it? Okay? Are you following now, Charles? You got it? Place? Okay. So he says, V'akala bein hu bein chavero, whether he eats the loaf of bread or his friend eats the loaf of bread, ma'al. He did do an act of me'ila. So the Tana of this Braisa says, Mefurash, that indeed it is an act of me'ila. Lefiha, meaning, since this loaf of bread is prohibited on the whole world, everybody is prohibited with this bread, yesh la pidyon, so it also is susceptible to pidyon, meaning he could take money, give it to Hekdesh, and take the bread out of its status. He says, then, conversely, that Bryce mentions another case, Kikar Zualai, Le Hekdesh or Hekdesh. He says, this loaf of bread is only Hekdesh to me. He doesn't ask for it on the whole world. The loaf of bread is to me like Hekdesh, Ba'achalo, and then he ate it, Huma'al. So if he, the person who says it's like Hekdesh to me, he doesn't act of Me'ila. Me'ila is the wrongful benefiting from Hekdesh, he says. He says, Chaveiro lo ma'al, but his chaver, if he eats the loaf, he didn't do an act of me'ila. Lefichach in la pidyon, therefore, since it's not asked in the whole world, it has not susceptible to pidyon. And the Ran learns that the nose for pidyon, if it has a high level of kedusha, it's susceptible to pidyon. Otherwise, not. He says, Divi Rebbeir, that's Rebbeir's opinion. But Chachamim Omrim, the Chachamim say, Beinkach, who Beinkach lo ma'al, Lefisha in me'ila bekonamot. The Chachamim say there is no me'ila b'konamot. So again, so we started off this morning with Rava asking Rav Nachman, is there a din of me'ila b'konamot? And Rav Nachman said from our Mishnah, he thought there was. But now we've learned that it's really a machloket tanaim. According to the Tana Kama, i.e. Rav Meir, there is a din of me'ila b'konamot. So therefore, if a person illicitly benefits from it, he's chayav a korban me'ilot. And a korban me'ila. And according to Chachamim, not. According to Chachamim, not. Okay, let me just do a few more lines, and then we'll close it out on this topic. Okay, so Amalei Rav Acha, the Rav Ibi, the Rav Ashi. Rav Acha, the son of Rav Ibi, said to Rav Ashi, Kikari Alecha, if Reuven says to Shimon, my loaf of bread is prohibited to you. He says, unatana lo b'matana. And then he takes the loaf of bread. Imagine this is the loaf of bread. And if somebody says this loaf of bread is prohibited on somebody, and then he gives that person the loaf of bread. He says, mi ma'al, mi ma'al. So it doesn't do it act on either. So here, yesterday we discussed if he gave it to him, is there a dinam eila, like if he eats it, in other words, it's his bread and like that. But even assuming that in other words, yesterday's topic was, he says, yeah, if he gave it to him as a matana, so is it still prohibited to him or not? But presumably this would be on the side that it's still prohibited to him, but when he gives it to him, does he do an act of eila? It means like this. If assuming it's like hekdesh, so when I take something from the Rishus HaHekdesh, just taking it out of the Rishus HaHekdesh, that's an act of me'ila. I'm taking it from one Rishus to another Rishus, that's an act of me'ila. So here, the person says, this loaf of bread is prohibited on you. And then he gives it to him as a matana. So now it's going from my Rishus to his Rishus. So is that an act of me'ila? Just taking it from my Rishus to his Rishus, is that an act of me'ila? He says, so the Gemara says, so we want to analyze this now. So who's going to do the me'ila? As far as the donor is concerned, so the donor, it's not asked to him, doesn't make sense. Lemol Makabel, let's say the Makabel, so should he be chayav for me'ila, the one who is the recipient? He says, Yechol, the Amar, so the recipient could say, I only wanted Heter. I had no intent to be Zocha on something which is prohibited to me. That wasn't my intent. I got hooked into this by this guy. He's like a horrible. He says, so that was the question that Rabbi asked Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi said, Amar le, mekabel ma'al l'chiyotzi. So he says, you're right. In the first instance, doesn't seem like any does Mila. But after the Mekabel takes it, the recipient takes it, and then if he gives it to somebody else, then he would be chayav of Mila. Because by regular me'ila, if I have money in my possession that belongs to Hekdesh, and I take it out to use for something else, I'm chayav for me'ila, even though I don't realize it. Even though I don't realize it, I'm chayav for me'ila. So in the same way here. So in other words, so if he receives it, he didn't realize what he was getting, so he's not chayav for me'ila for that. It was, he had no intent to be zocheh on something which is asur. But once he does receive it, and now he holds on to it, if he then does something with it, he transfers it to somebody else, then he will indeed, you know, he will also commit an act of me'ila. Right, but we're focusing on the transfer of title. Now, let's just do a little round on this, and then we'll pause and we'll take some questions, okay? So okay, we'll do two things. So first, the fourth wide line in the Ran, the left-hand column. Okay, Charles, you have the place. Let me just point to you. Look at my finger here. You see left hand. This is the Ran. Look at the wide lines, the fourth very wide line, okay? Where it says, relating to halacha. The last two words online are relating to halacha. So he says, relating to halacha, kaimalan karebeir, yishmiel b'konamot. So first, the Ran says, the halacha we hold, there is a din me'ila by konamot. That's the first he saw. He says the harav nachman pashit le the rabba mimanitin shesh mila, because we see in our gemara, which in other words, the machloket tanayim, is there a din me'ila by konamot or not? So we had a question, it's machloket tanayim, but we see in our gemara that Rava posed the question to Rav Nachman, and Rav Nachman said there is me'ila, and he had a diuk from our mishnah, because the mishnah said that if Reuven, gets the lost item back to him, and then Shimon incurred expenses, so Reuven should take that money and give it to the Hekdesh. That's the theme of there is konamot. When Perak Shvuot Shtayim Batra, the Gemara Masechet Shvuot, Nami Mafchid and Remeir the Rabbanon. So he wants to say the Gemara Masechet Shvuot flips over the sheet code. So here, Remeir is the one who says that there is Me'ilah B'Konamot. So over there, the Gemara says really the Chachamim hold there's Me'ilah B'Konamot and not Remeir. So that makes it even stronger that the Halacha should be like the Chachamim. Hilcha Kaimalan Yesh Me'ilah. The Kaimalan Nami, the Konam Kali Yesh Lo Pidyon. He says, in addition to which, the Ran says, if a person makes a konam, it's prohibited on everybody, so it is subject to pidyon. In other words, a person can take the value of it, give it to Hekdesh, and take it out from the status. Mandamal bekonamor, yimishtari hu konam lebatar demayil, kehechtishos chunay demeila. Yeah. So he asks a question like this. Let's say a person, he did an act of me'ila with the konamot. In other words, let's say he transferred it to somebody or something like that. So is the item itself now permissible? In other words, by hekdesh, if I take hekdesh out and I transfer it, so now it loses its status as hekdesh. Now it's chulim, but I owe the money to the hekdesh. So what about this item that I'm osering, like konamot? Is that saying to... Right. So now when I transfer it to somebody, so now does it lose its status? And let's say he said that the loaf of bread is quote on everyone in the world, and now he transfers it to somebody, does it lose its status or not? So here the Ron says he's mesupak on that. He's not certain on that. Okay, now one second. Okay, just one more line, and then we'll see where we're going with this. So we look 4 lines from the bottom in the Ran, 5 lines. So the Gemara says that if a person asks for a loaf of bread just on Shimon, and then he gives the loaf of bread to Shimon, who does me'ila? So the Gemara says the donor didn't do me'ila because the loaf of bread wasn't prohibited to him. And the recipient can say, I don't intend to be mzocha on something which is prohibited. So he says, Amalei Mekabel Ma'al of Sheotzi. So the Gemara said, Rav Ashi said, that the recipient will do an act of me'ila when he transfers it out to somebody. Right now, nobody's doing an act of me'ila. When he transfers it out, he does an act of me'ila. Even though we say when he's zocha that was betawad, that was mistaken. When he transfers it out, we wouldn't say that way. Like anybody who's multi maud hektesh lechulin said, I didn't realize what I had. I had a bag of money to blow to hektesh, and he was using it for chulin purposes, so he didn't realize it, but he's still chayav from the ilah. And one more line in the Ran, and then we'll take a pause. The Rishami says, Nadar min akikar, let's say a person made a neder, he's not going to get hana from this loaf of bread. So the Rishami has a question. Let's say it's a hot loaf of bread, and he wants to warm his hands on the bread. So is he allowed to get, heat his hands from the bread? In other words, the bread is asur in a konam. In other words, it's konam. But so can he get hana from warming his hands? So in Lechora, this is a little issue. The Gemara doesn't determine the answer to that. So Mestab, it's taluim on what's called hana'a. In other words, that's a very intangible sort of hana'a. In other words, you're not eating it. You just heat, like heat waves and things like that. So the Gemara doesn't have a determination of it. Okay. So again, let's just think this through and let's just summarize what we did and make it aleph beis, and then we'll take some questions, comments, and thoughts. Okay. So the yisod is that when it comes to nedarim, frequently with nedarim, a person links it to a korban. Korban is a sacrifice. And it means that somebody says, this item should be prohibited to me, like a korban. But he uses the word konamot. Like a konam means like a korban. It's asur like a korban. So as a result, as a corollary to that, is there a din of me'ila by the thing that's being asur? Is there a din of me'ila? So we ended up saying there is a din of me'ila, and a me'ila, if a person doesn't act, it would be constituted an act of me'ila, so then he's chai of a korban me'ila, he's chai of that sacrifice that you would bring. And then we had a question, which seems like the question that Rishonim have, is he chai of a keren v'chomish as well, the principle down in the fifth or not? The Ran only mentioned the korban me'ila, but we don't know about the keren v'chomish. And then we had a case where a person only asked the loaf of bread on one person, and then he gives it to that person. I don't know what he's thinking with this, and so he gives it to him. So the Gemara says, so does anybody commit an act of me'ila by just being transferred? So the Gemara says the donor doesn't do an act of me'ila because it's not asr on him. The recipient can say, I didn't know what I was getting. I had no intent to be zochan something to me. The Gemara says, notwithstanding that, if the recipient then gives it to somebody else, then he'll do an act of me'ila because that's the way me'ila works. You had money, you didn't realize it was hekdesh, you spent it out, so you're chayav for that. Okay, who's got questions, comments, and thoughts on anything we did so far? Yeah, because in other words, the act of Me'ilah is being transferred to his Rishus. So he has no intent to be Zokha on something that would be L'chayv Me'ilah. Yeah, but I don't even want to acquire it if it's Ekdesh. So I have no intent to even acquire it. So I can't. No, I don't know. You can't force me to acquire something I don't want to acquire. I don't know what I'm even getting. So he has no intent. But then if he takes dominion and control over the object, and then he did want to acquire it, then he becomes the other way. Okay, what's up, Josh? Right, we did this yesterday. Yeah,
he tries to give him the
money that Shimon expended. And literally, Shimon is also mudar hazam from another, each mudar from each other. So Shimon can't get hana, or Shimon says nishkeferlach. You know, don't worry about it. So then Reuven, now he's got in his pocket, you know, let's say $20 that he's benefiting from Shimon. So he can't do that. So the Talmud Mishnah says he has to give it to Hekdesh. So the Gemara says, why does he have to give it to Hekdesh? Why can't he yolich kanal yamamelech? Why can't he throw it into the sea? He just can't get enough from it. But the Dafkid has to go to Hekdesh. So the implication is that Konamot is a din in Hekdesh. In other words, any benefit that you're getting from the Konam, which is really what he's getting, he got benefit. In this case, the benefit was Shimon and his property was a Konam, but he got benefit from it. That goes to Hekdesh. Okay? Well, if he this is getting a little trickier now. Now you see the item that he's benefiting from isn't the subject of the konam. The konam was with Shimon, so he's wrongfully, I don't know what he's behind, but he's wrongfully benefiting from it. But he will also be violating the neder. He'll also be violating the neder. Okay. Any other questions, comments, thoughts? Everybody good? Okay. Let's turn the page on Lemon Hammond Bays, and we're now moving on to the next subject. Okay. Okay. Now you start with a new Mishnah here, Charles. Getting like from scratch. Okay, not quite scratch, but okay. All right, now, Manitin. Now, again, we're talking about two people, Reuven and Shimon. And Reuven is prohibited from getting benefit from Shimon or his property. So it could either be Reuven made the neder that he's not going to get benefit from Shimon, or Shimon made a neder that Reuven is not to get benefit from him and his property. So I think the latter way seems to work a little bit better with this mission. Let's say, but either one, it would be that Reuven is mudar enough from Shimon. So that's the case. So this is the continuation of the last mission. He says, Manitin b'toreim et trumato. So notwithstanding that Shimon is mudar enough from Reuven, Shimon could still like separate the truma for Reuven's crops. In other words, if Reuven has crops, Shimon could separate out the truma for him. Or he could separate his maasrot, provided it's done with the knowledge and consent of Reuven. So the Gemara in tomorrow's daf is going to say that it means that Reuven does not appoint Shimon a shliach, but he says, the language is, one second, when we get the language here, he says, he makes an announcement, he says, whoever wants to come and take truma, let him do it. In other words, he just says in a general sense, like an announcement to the world. I have my crops here. Whoever wants to separate out the truma, you can come and take the truma. That's what he says. So the Gemara does not consider that to be a tangible benefit that Reuben is getting from Shimon. Then the Mishnah says, "Umakri b'lav kini zabin, kini zabo, kini yodot, tata otba ashamot." That if Shimon is a Kohen, Shimon can bring a korban on behalf of Reuven. In other words, if Reuven or the one who is Mudar Hanam, in other words, he could bring, kin means a nest, in other words, like two Torah and two Bnei Yonah, for a Zav or a Zava. In other words, Zav is a man who has a flow, you know, like, but it's not a seminal mission. He has another type of mission where he has Tuma. So in order to get out of his Tuma, if he's, he has three emissions, so then he has to bring a Korban on the eighth day. This is Reuben needs to bring a Reuben needs to be a korban, and Shimon is a Kohen, but Shimon is mudar hanah from him. So, but nevertheless, Shimon can bring the korban. He could bring kinei zavin, like a pair for if it's a zav male, or kinei zavot, it would be let's say a female rachel of them. Then kinei yoldot, if there will be a woman and she gives birth, he could bring that korban as well. Chataot vashmot, he can bring chataot vashmot. Now, it's going to come out that these korban are mentioned because it's Mechusrei Kapara. In other words, Mechusrei Kippurim, Who remembers what Malchus Shai Kippurim is? Anybody want to? What's Malchus Shai Kippurim? We have why is he have to bring the core? You're meshing a couple of different things together. Okay, so Mechusar Kippur means can he touch him till the korban is brought? That's what Mechusar Kippur brings. Okay, so he can't, you know, he can't eat any kachim till that korban is brought. It's Mechusar Kippur. So this usually they say four types. I don't know, here they have like five, but it's either way. So it's a zav, a zava, a yoledet, or a mitzora. If you want to say mitzorat, you have five. In other words, a zav or a zava, a yoledet, a woman who gave birth, and a mitzvah. Those are all Mechusar Kippurim. So they can't eat korbanot until it's brought. So we'll see in the Gemara, it's going to get into the issue whether, you know, are the konim, are they our shlichim? Are they our shliach? Or are they shluchi d'rachman? Are they shluchi d'ribono shlolom? So he says, so he can bring those korbanot, umalamdo medrash halachot v'agadot. In addition to which, Shimon could teach Reuven, he could teach him different medrashim. In other words, it means like drasho to chazal, he could teach him a halachot, and he could teach him a gadot, but he's not allowed to teach him sukim in Tanakh, and the Gemara is going to explain that it's a situation where he could charge him to in other words, like normally, like the Gemara is, ma'ani b'chinam afatem b'chinam, when you teach Torah, it should be for free. So, but the Gemara is going to learn when you teach sukkim, you're allowed to charge money for it. And the Gemara is going to explain, and we'll have this at the end of tomorrow's daf and the beginning of the daf on Thursday. Maybe we'll do a little bit with you. We'll see how it plays out on Thursday. But the Gemara is going to learn if there's trap involved, I can charge you for it. Okay? So he can't teach a mikra because then he's conferring upon him benefit. He's getting hanah from him. He says, but he could teach Reuven's sons or daughters, that he could teach, even though there's a mitzvah on the father to teach the children, but mitzvah lav liharon didn't do. Mitzvah is not given for hana purposes, so he, Shimon, could teach the kids, okay? Reuven's kids, that's 100% correct. Okay, let's just see a little bit on the Moran on this, and then we'll take some questions. This we did. We didn't do it, but first we're going to the doctor of the Moran. Okay. Okay, and then the volume did a mikra, but more first time. Okay, who's got questions, comments, thoughts on anything we did in the Mishnah? Everybody got it? So, but then he would still be conferring a benefit on it. In other words, I taught you it's worth $100, and I'm not charging you, that's even worse. It's not a din hektesh. It was before, it was in a me'ila, so it's hektesh. Here it's not a din, it's my money. It's not giving it to hektesh, it's my. I'm saying that the Hashavas Aveda was, right, so the Hashavas Aveda was, Shimon says, I don't need the money, you keep it. So we said, give it there. So you want to say the same thing here, when he's teaching him, so we should do that. This I don't know. Let me leave that as a little bit, I don't know. Okay, let's see back on the Gemara. Now, okay, so Gemara says, Ibailhu, the question was asked in the base medrash, Hani kane shluchi danhavu o shluchi d'shmaya. So the way the Gemara usually refers to is shluchi d'rachmana. In other words, when a kohen serves in the base of Mikdash, who's the balim? Who's he working for? Is the people walking the base of Mikdash, they need to bring korban out? Are they the balim? And he's acting as their shliach? Or is it the Ribono Shlolam? They're working for the Ribono Shlolam, and it happens to work, you know, Bob's this person. Okay? So the Gemara says, what's the nafkamina? Whether we say it's, you know, Shluchei Yidan or Shluchei Durachmana, the Mudar Hana. So the Gemara says, the nafkamina would be if somebody's Mudar Hana. Like in our case, Reuven is Mudar Hana from Shimon, and Shimon is a Kohen. The Amrit, the Shluchei Yidan Havu, if you assume that there are shliach, in other words, I walk to the base of Mikdash, Reuven walks to the base of Mikdash, he sees Shimon is on duty that day, he says, Shimon, I know we have a lousy relationship, and I know I'm mudar hana from you, but I'd like you to bring in korban on my behalf. So he says, hamahani leva asur. So now, if Shimon brings the korban, he's conferring benefit on Reuven, and that would be prohibited, because Shimon is mudar, or Reuben is mudar hana from Shimon. So that can't work. But if I say that a Kohen is a shliach from the Ribono Shel Olam, sorry, it would be permissible. Right. So what's the halakha in this situation? Okay, let's take a look at the Ran on this. Okay, the first narrow line of the Ran, the upper right-hand narrow line, do you have it, Charles? Okay, so look at my finger over here. Okay, like this, okay? Okay. So he says, Yibayin luhani kani shluchi didanim, afal gavi perak kama dikidushin, asik ravhun dishluchi dirachmanim. So Ran says the Gemara already concluded about this. If you look in the Gemara Masechet Kiddushin, the Gemara concludes there, Ravuna concludes there, that without a doubt, the Kohanim are Shluchei Drachmana. They're Shluchim from a Kaddish Baruch Hu. Yisal Kedai Tashluzi Danim, because if you would assume there are Shluchim, Mikamidi Danan Lamatin Lamebad Binu Avdi. How could it be, in other words, in order to be my Shliach, has to be something that I myself am in Shliach as a messenger, my agent. So in order to be my Shliach, it has to be something, in order to make you my shliach, it has to be something that I could do myself, but I delegate you to do it. But here, the Avodah of the Beis HaMikdash, can I do the Avodah of the Beis HaMikdash? No, I'm not a Kohen. So how can you possibly be my shliach? You can't. That's what everyone says. So it's got to be a shliach from the Rosh Hashanah. He says here, he sounds like shliach done in me to done on the Messiah of the Inu Avdi. So the Ran wants to explain, nevertheless, even, that's a Svara. Rav Huna has a Svara that the Shluchei Drachmana. But notwithstanding that, the Gemara wants to see, can we deduce the answer from a Mishnah or a Braisa? And that's an argument. We'll have it like that way. I saw them in the Gemara, they wanted to say that maybe it was a blend. Maybe it could be that in Achinami is an aspect where it's Shluchei Drachmana, but maybe part of it could be like Shluchei Didan. Anyway, but let's take a look back in the Gemara, in the Ran. So if he's doing his shlichos as a kohen, he's giving conferring benefit. If there's shluchim from the Ribono Shel Olam, even though as a result of bringing the korban, now the person Reuben can eat kachim, that's just a grama. In other words, I'm bringing the korban, and as I'm bringing the korban, now you can eat kachim. That we wouldn't call hana. But if I appoint you as a shliach and you're doing my shlichus, that's a hana. You're my shliach. You do what I want. That's hana. So let's see back in the Gemara. So that's the question on the table. So Tashma, so back in the Gemara, line 10, the same line with the small alpha in parentheses. Do you have a place, Charles? Okay. Josh, please make sure it gets placed. Okay. So Tashma is done because we learned in our Mishnah, it says, Makriv alav kini zav l'chulei. So in our Mishnah, we learned that Shimon can bring these korbanot on behalf of Reuven, even though Reuven is Mudar Hana from Shimon. He says, "I amit shluchei didan kamahani lei." So if it's shluchei didan, he'll be giving Hana to Reuven, which he can't do. So it must be by process elimination that we have a proof from our Mishnah that it's shluchei d'rachmana. That's what we think. Okay. So okay, is everybody good so far or not? What's up, Josh? The hana would be just that you're doing my shlichus. That's the hana. That you're doing my shlichus. That's hana to me. That you're doing my shlichus. Okay. So let's see. I think that's the way Rabbi Sarfati was explaining it today. Okay. Now let's take a look. Now the Gemara says, So the Gemara says, "Latamech." So now the Gemara wants to flip it over. "Latamech," according to your svara, so that the konim are shluchi to Rachmana, says litni makri v'lav korbanot. So why does the Mishnah say that he can only bring these korbanot or machusvei kippurim? In other words, if you're saying the konim are shluchei d'rachmana, shluchim work for the Ribono Shel Olam. So the Mishnah should say that Shimon can bring any korban for Reuven, right? Because any korban are working for the Ribono Shel Olam. Why is it the Mishnah only mentions these that are, you know, for the machusvei kippurim? All right. So the So let's see back in the Gemara. He says, "Lili Mekri of the Korbanot Ella the Chusrei Kaparashani." So the Gemara wants to say, perhaps we could say that the Konim are Shluchei Didan. The Konim are our Shlichim, and in Achinami he can't bring the other Korbanot. But Mechusrei Kippurim is different. Mechusrei Kippurim is like sui generis, a case in and of itself. It's like he says, "Shani." He says, "Mechusrei Kaparashani." The Amar Rabbi Yochanan is Rabbi Yochanan taught. In other words, in order to bring a korban on behalf of somebody, you need the knowledge and consent of the person who would be obligated in the korban. Except by Mechusrei Kapara. Again, Mechusrei Kapara is the term of art that we just mentioned before. The people, they're done with the Tahara process, except they need to bring a Korban. That's Mechusrei Kapara. I'm done with my whole Tahara process. In other words, let's say I was a Mitzora, or somebody was a Mitzora. So he went through a whole process, the Tzaras got better, and he went through the body shaving, he did this, that, and he did everything, but he didn't bring the Korban. That's Mechusrei Kippurim. But the same thing with the Zav, with the Yoledet. So they went through the whole process except for the Korban. He says, puts me in Mechusrei Kapara, Shrei Adami Vi Korban Abanavi Lutavakanim. So Yochanan says, the Torah says, you can even bring a Korban on behalf of a minor child. Now, a minor child is not legally competent to give his consent to it. He doesn't know what's coming off. You know, he's not in the parsha to give consent or legally binding consent. Shinemar, the pasuk says, Zotarat Hazav. This is the law of the Zav, which is al darshanel, being gadol, being katan, whether he's an adult or he's a katan. So if he's a katan, so the father would bring on his behalf, even without his das. So let's take a look. Let's look at the Ran now. He says, Ela Mechusrei Kaparshani in the Ran, middle and narrow lines, Klomar Badraba. So now the Gemara is like shifting gears. It's a punk paket. We're going to do the opposite. Tifsho Le'irakis. In other words, we wanted to bring a proof from our sugya that Vadai, the Konimar, Shluchei, Dishmaya, or Shluchei, Drachmana. Now the Gemara is flipping it over. It's punk paket. It came at the time of Mechusrei Kapar B'lechud. Since the Tana only teaches me that Shimon could bring the korban of Mechusrei Kippurim, the Ein Tzrichim Dat, those are korbanot that I don't need the knowledge and consent of the person. Mashma Daf Kahani, Mishum the Kavan, the Ein Tzrichim Dat, Badai Koin Lav Shlichutan Ka'avid. If somebody can bring a korban without my knowledge or consent, they're not doing my shlichus because I never in any way appointed them as a shliach. So they're not doing my shlichus in this case. Aval Bishar Korbanot, Shlichim Dat, but all the other korbanot that do need my knowledge and consent, they are our shlichim. The Elo litni makri b'lav korbanot. Because if it would be the way you assumed originally that the shluchei derachmana, so the Tana should say that Shimon brings any korban on behalf of Reuven, but ruguta tvei, that would be a bigger fetish. Why is the Tana only saying the mechusrei kippurim? Umiu lo mifshtan b'ayin legamrei. But as Ron says, we haven't really totally resolved our question. The Ikal Meimar, the Tana Mechusrei Kapara, Lashmin Rebuta. So now that's it. So in other words, if I just stop the Gemara here, so now I have a proof the other way. Since the Tana is only teaching me Mechusrei Kippurim, so it must be that there must be that they're really Shluchei Didan, and you can't bring other Korbanot, but this is different because I don't need knowledge and consent. So it's the end of the inquiry. So the Ron says, not true. He says, because I said the other way is round. He's the other way as well. He says, the Ikal Meimar, the Tana Mechusrei Kapara, Lashmin Rebuta, Tishbe Chiddush, Dafa Pisha Matur, Lashkoba Kanshim Shari. In other words, that in Achinami, that the Konimar, Shluchi Derachmana, but with the Mechusrei Kippurim, he's bringing the Korban and now permits me to eat in Kanshim. So he's, I would think, conferring a benefit on me. He says here, Bechoshkein Bishar Korbano. In other words, he's teaching me a chiddush that, in other words, on one side, if I say they're shluchei derachmana, so yeah, they could bring any korbano. But the Tana teaches me not only can they bring any korban, they can even bring mechusrei kippurim, where there's a tangible benefit to me. Now I get to eat kachim. So that's a chiddush that way. That would be one side. He says, now, let's say, but what about Rabbi Yochanan's halacha, that I need the consent of the person? So, well, I don't need the consent by the Zav, the Zava. So don't I have the answer to that question, that since he holds, I don't need the consent? So, l'chora, so what it means, like, they are really shluchei didan, and this is the exceptional case. He says, lomar de shluchei didan inu, yikla meymar de rechvana shavim l'kane shluchim klohecha de yikadat balim. I could say, the Torah says that they're my shluchim, but as a prerequisite, you need to have the knowledge of the Balin. Okay, so let's see a little bit further than the Gemara. One second. One more run, and then we got to run. Chutz mechusrei kapara, zav zav mitzor mitzorad v'yoledet, v'kulo tiv torat. What was his torat? The card lehum mechusrei kapara. He's a nice thing to underline, or if you had a highlighter. Yishom sha'asrun li kanes la mikdash, can't enter the base of mikdash, v'lechol b'kachim, ha'shviu kaparatan. body came in the korban abala kapara in speakum dad. It's not really, so his Dran says these korban are not really coming for kapara for atonement. About kosher speaking kapara, okay, speakum dad. They do need das. Okay, so again, so it could be back in the Gemara. So it could be, so it's not mukhra from our, from so we started saying it must be that the kohanim are shluchei derachmana. And then the Gemara says, no, it could be shluchei dan, and it's only dafka these four that he could bring because they don't require das. So let's see back in the Gemara. He says, El miata, Rabbi Yochanan, Zotorat Yolada, Begomer. So whenever it says Zotorat HaZav, or Torat Yolada, so there's a drasha, being gadol, being katan. So the Gemara says, so according to Rabbi Yochanan, what do you do with Zotorat Yolada? This is the law of the Yolada, being tano, being gadola. So what are you going to say? That even if it's a minor child, they can bring like the korban that like a woman who gives birth brings a korban, tana but leidahi, is a tana capable of bearing a child. But tani rabibi, tami rav Nachman, rabibi taught the following b'raisa before rav Nachman, and that the only people had this already. There are three women who have intimate relations with like this wad, this pad, like this you know, like it's like a wad that they would stick in the genital area to prevent conception. And that's Katana, a girl who's below, you know, 12, Umu Barrett, a woman who's pregnant, Umenika, a woman who's nursing. And the Bryce says, Katana, Shemit Zabir B'tabot. Because if the Katana becomes pregnant, well, we don't think she would survive it. So it's like, Pikuach Nefesh. So if that's the case, what does he do with the Zotarat Hayoleta? So he's Zotarat Hayoleta, Bain Pikachat Bain Shotam. So there, he'll darshan out that whether she's got her mental faculties, she's an adult, or she doesn't have her mental faculties, so she can't, in other words, somebody can bring korban on her behalf. She can't adam be korban only so shota kedibur Rabbi Yehuda, because a man could bring a korban for his wife if she's a shota, she's not in her right mind. The Tanya, four lines from the bottom, we learned the brisa Rabbi Yehuda Meir adam be korban ashir alishto, that a person brings a korban. In other words, in halacha, a man, He's the breadwinner, so he owns the property typically. So the woman by herself, we would not view as a wealthy person unless it's a korban ola biyoreid. Some korbanot have tiers, like poor person, medium income person, and the wealthy person, or the medium asset person. So if the guy's wealthy and the woman doesn't have assets, so he brings a korban ashir for his wife, the whole korbanot shetayevet, and every korban that she's obligated to, he the husband can bring on her behalf. So here, there's different here. So the way the Ron has it is that not the Shekakotev law, but Shekakotevahi, that that's what she writes. Meaning, if they get divorced and then he pays out the ksuba, so in the receipt she says, you know, I acknowledge receipt of the plank of money, and I absolve you of any obligation to bring any korbano that I was mechuyev because now I'm on my own. But the thing is that before he was obligated on bring korban on her behalf. All right. So now let's just see a little bit here. One second. All right. So. So again, so the issue we had was Arkonim Shluchi Didan or Shluchi Derachmana. So we started off by thinking that they must be Shluchi Derachmana, because otherwise, how can they bring a korban, you know, for these korbano? And then the Gemara says, no, it's punfaker. Could be the shluchi didan. Why does he only mention these korbanot? So now, why does he only mention these korbanot? So the Ran gave an answer to that. So he only mentions these korbanot because that even though these korbanot, it confers a benefit on the person. Now he can eat kachim, but still the shimon can bring the korbanot for him, even though there's like a tangible benefit for him. That's the way the Ran is answering the one sa'ad, the shluchi derachmana. But the Gemara takes it that could be that the Peshat in the Mishnah is that they're shluchi didan, they're our shlichim, and why are they able to bring these korbanot? Only these korbanot they can bring. So according to the first side, they can bring any korban. And not only any korban, but even these four where there's a tangible benefit, because they're shluchi derachmana. But it could be that they're shluchi didan, they're our shlichim, and they can't bring any korbanot if they're mudar hanah from the person, except these four they could. Why? Because these four don't require the knowledge or consent of the person. If they don't require the knowledge extended to the person, so that's a simon that I could bring it without a din and shlichus. Because for shlichus, I need his das. In addition to which, the Ran filled in that these korbanot don't come really to atone for any sin. They're not coming for really for kapara. You're just coming to be marked to the person to be able to eat the kachim and enter the base of Mekash. Okay, who's your questions, comments, thoughts on anything we did? Yeah, so the Gemara says, why does your letter bring a korban? So the Gemara says that every woman, when she's giving birth, so she takes a shvuah that she's never going to have another child, and so that's korban. But that, you could say, is not like, you know, not mukhrach, you know what I mean? But at least that's the way the Ron is learning. Okay, what thing and repeat? What thing and repeat? Right, that's correct. Okay, now, and in the Mishnah, when it says chatot ba'ashamot, it means the chatat and the asham of the mitzorah. Okay, I think that's it for tonight. Now, learning tonight was sponsored by Charles Libby, the Louis Neshama of his father, Dr. Nathan Libby, Nechemiah ben Shlomo Levy. Okay, that's correct. Okay, now, one second, let me just end recording.